Going back to the text that was read to you a little earlier from the Old Testament, it reads to us once again in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 specifically, "Here am I, send me." Many of you know what I'm about to say already. It's hard to find volunteers these days, is it not? In our churches and in our organizations, you almost have to get the needle or find the needle in the haystack to get somebody to do something. And then on top of that, when you find somebody who will volunteer, they only want to volunteer for the easy stuff, for only the things that they feel that they can do or a task that's accomplished easily. But that would be nice if that was the case every time we volunteer to do something. But there are some tasks that need a volunteer because the task at hand is hard. The task at hand is not easy. As a matter of fact, some of these tasks are very difficult. And as I said before, it's hard to find somebody who will volunteer for a difficult task. And when somebody in our presence actually does so, we look at them like they're crazy. We kind of take them inside and say, "Man, don't you know that's too hard? That people have tried this before? That you can't do this?" But yet, those are just some of the people that we need as we go forth and answer God's call within the world for today. We find out here in this particular text that the Judean people under King Uzziah and some of the other kings afterwards were not doing right. You see, they had left the Lord. They had forgotten what happened to their ancestors all the way from the Exodus up until now. They had forgot how the Lord had led them out and how the Lord had watched over them by fire at night and by the cloud at day. They had forgotten what God had done for them. And isn't that what happens sometimes to us? It's easy for us to remember the days in which we were younger and we had to go to church and we had to go to Sunday school and we learned all about the Lord. And we would always say in church that the Lord is good and is worthy to be praised. But you remember those times in which we left? We were doing our own thing. We had forgotten about church. We had forgotten about our family. We had forgotten about everything else except for the Lord. But yet we find out here specifically what the Judean people were doing here in this particular text. They had forgotten about the Lord and they had forsaken the Lord. They had discounted the Lord's teachings and what the Lord had done for the people even coming before them. Then we find out that their worship was futile. They were coming to worship and half worshiping God. Maybe they were like congregations that we know of today, that they come and they say it is worship, but they're doing everything else but worship. How they're looking at what people are wearing, what people are saying, what people are doing. Talking about that person over there and say they love God, but do you know who they are outside of the four walls of this church? Those who were saying that we get jealous of when they do something and we want to do it, but nobody asked us, but somebody beat us to the punch. We find out here that when they were coming together to worship, they weren't worshiping the Lord. They were worshiping every other thing. And the Lord was not happy with their worship. And then on top of that, we find out that the people got a little bit greedy and they were practicing injustice against themselves and others. You see, it was not good for the people. And it's never good once you have forgotten those that you've been with before, or forgotten the one who had created you and made you whole and who you are. And so we find out here that Isaiah, who came from a priestly family, had seen visions, and all these things had been revealed to him in these first five chapters about what God was going to do to these people because they had been hard-headed. So we find, brothers and sisters, that it was not good for them. And they didn't even see it coming. For the Lord told them over and over again, "You need to turn yourselves around and turn yourselves back unto me." And this is the word that Isaiah had to give to them. Imagine what it's like giving somebody else some bad news. If you're a messenger, most of the time, most people I know of, you want to give somebody some good news. But Isaiah was going to have some bad news for them, because they need to realize what they were doing, who they belong to, and how they need to turn back to what God had for them in their lives. They had to make their way on back. And yet, after Isaiah had received this talk and these visions from the Lord, it was his turn to go forth and accept that call. For yet the text tells us that he had a vision, that he had seen the Lord high and lofty sitting on the throne. And can you imagine what that looked like to him? Could you imagine? He had never seen the Lord his God before. And you can imagine as he was having this vision, we don't know if he was asleep, we don't know if he was in the temple, we don't know what was going on. But we knew from what we read that he saw the Lord. And you can imagine it was like being in heaven. And you could see the angels that were flying around. And you could see that he saw God. Now keep in mind, the text always tells us you cannot see God and live. So it tells us here that he only saw the hem of what was going on in the temple. So he saw him from the bottom down because he could not see him in full. And so as he saw him, he was probably wondering, oh my goodness, what is going on here in this particular place? And we find out that not only was the Lord present there amidst all of the brightness, amidst all of the singing, amidst all of the music, we find out that there were some seraphs, there were some winged beings that were there. And they were attending to God. So with some of their wings, they covered their face, and some they covered their private parts, as it tells us here, when they talk about the feet. And then, but he told them, and as they were singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Full of his glory is the whole earth. And you can imagine that Isaiah, who was just a regular person like us, had seen everything that was happening at this place. He didn't know exactly what to think, but he knew that he was no longer here in the presence of what we see here on earth and what we believe, but he had seen something that was the greatest sight he had ever seen in his entire life. And he recognized right then and there that he was not adequate to be in this place. For it tells, they said, oh my goodness, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I should not be in this place. Oftentimes, when we answer God's call, we will see a manifestation of God right there in that place where we are. And the first thing that we have to admit to is that we are not all that. The first thing we have to admit to that we, no matter how many degrees we have behind our name, no matter where we live in our zip code, no matter what we've done in this particular church or any other church, we are come to understand that we are not all that, as young people say. And to acknowledge it is not about us, it's about the presence of God that is with us. See, because as Isaiah is here in this particular place, understanding who he is confessing that he is not all that. He's confessing that he has fallen short. He is confessing that his state of mind has not been in the right place. He is confessing that he has fallen short of what God has had for him. Even remember that Isaiah was the priestly class. He wasn't just any Joe Blow that was off the street here in this particular text. He was somebody, or at least come from a lineage that was very, very important. And then we find out that as he had confessed who he was, that one of the seraphs that went back had gotten this coal from the altar and had it with some tongue, so we could say that the coal was hot. And then he came and he purged his lips. And you can imagine, I can't imagine this, but can you imagine something that you burned yourself in your mouth? Anybody ever burned your tongue or something? Burned your mouth? That hurts, doesn't it? And can you imagine someone holding a live hot coal to your lips, in your mouth? Now, I know that was hot. And you know that was hot. It was something I probably couldn't even bear, nor not even, I wouldn't even be conscious anymore if something like that even happened to me. But yet, when God calls us, we recognize who we are, but see, God also cleanses us. When we accept the call of God, understand that we can't be the same persons that we were before, that we are somebody new, that God has to prepare us, to cleanse us, to take on the new thing that God has for us within our lives. You see, we can't go out here talking about Jesus to a neighborhood and a community and even here on this campus if you haven't been cleansed. See, you can't go out there and tell somebody else about Jesus if you're not doing what Jesus has taught you. See, you can't go out there and be a witness if you don't know what the Lord has done for you. You can't go out there and face the structures and the powers of society if you don't have something backing you up. If you don't have something allowing you to be led by God in your life. And let's face it, for some of us who have received the call following God, we've had to reform a whole lot of things in our lives, have we not? And still working on it. Have to get rid of the jealousy. Have to get rid of the unforgiveness. Have to get rid of the self-doubt. And then look, while you're still out there on the battle lines, you're still going through those things anyway, because those things are always trying to haunt you, say that you're not good enough, you're not strong enough, you're not smart enough. Why are you out here? You know you'd be home with your family. Those things happen to us, do they not? But yet, if we call ourselves trying to follow God, we're going to be cleaned up in a new way. You see, heat applied to a wound kind of heals it, does it not? And for some of us to truly follow God, there are some things in our lives that need to be burned. There are some things in our lives that need to be purged. There are some things in our lives that need to be cleansed. And that's exactly what was going on here. And as we find out that the seraph had put that coal to his lips and the seraph had declared that he was clean, then that's when the Lord spoke. Because the Lord said after that, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" For God is still looking for somebody after seeing everything that's going on to go forth and tell somebody else about God. He is still looking for somebody to tell others about what they're doing wrong within life. God is still looking for somebody to tell it. Now, most of us, I would believe, we saw something like this. Who shall I send, and who will go for us? I'm sure that some of us might just run on away. What's the first thing we say? We're like Moses, "Oh no, you need to send by somebody else, because I am not the one." But we find out here in this particular text that Isaiah had no hesitation. For he said, "Here am I, send me." You see, he was ready. He admitted who he was. He was cleansed. And now he had accepted the call of God to go forth into the world. He enthusiastically, without reservation, without any doubt, said, "Go, and I will go." You see, brothers and sisters, he answered what the Lord had for him, that he was going to go out there and do what the Lord had done for him, because God is still looking for people today to go out into the world. But the one thing about Isaiah here in this text, as I said before, he's giving people some bad news. For immediately tells them, "I'm going to continue to dull your heart and your mind," as what the Lord says, that you still will not understand what is going on, that your hearts will still be hard and you will still keep doing the same thing. Oh yes, we see later on at the end, after the Israelites have come back from exile, that God is still promised to be with them. But if we talk about answering the call today, brothers and sisters, we have to go out into a world that's difficult. You see, this is not an easy task to be volunteered for today. What we're called to do is to understand that as we live in these difficult times, let's just see everything that God wants somebody in here to speak to today. We still have acts against African-American people, whether it's Starbucks, whether it's the park in Oakland, whether it's any other micro or macro aggression that is happening today, God is still looking for somebody to say, "Here I am, send me." We are still facing everyday school shootings every time we look around. Somebody is being shot and killed in school. God is still looking for somebody to say, here I am, send me. We still see what's going on in all of our news outlets from Washington, D.C., all over the place. There is still fake news out there. And there are still policies that are hurting and oppressing others today. Brothers and sisters, God is still calling somebody to say, here am I, send me. And many of us would ignore the call. It's too hard. It's taking too much of my time. I've got to spend time with my family. I've got other things to do. Or maybe, God, you need to call on somebody else. But see, when God calls, you can't run. When God touches you, you can't hide. And see, and there are some of us who are in this place today, God has called you to do something, and you know you can't, you've said no, and you know how you can't sleep, or you can't rest until you have said yes. Do you know what's that like not to have any peace in your life? Because God is preparing us, even through the no's, that God will say yes. We are finding out, brothers and sisters, today, that God is still calling us to go out there in the world. Too often we leave it to somebody else, but God is calling you. And not only has God called us, we've seen it. You've seen God. It may not have been on that high and lofty throne. It may not have been a seraph, but you've seen God. And your mama and your grandmama who've worked hard. You've seen it in the pastor or preacher. You've seen it in the teacher. You've seen it in those who have led you to this point today. And if you've seen that, you've seen God. Some of you have seen the dreams. You've seen the visions. You've seen what God has for you. But yet you've felt that I'm not adequate enough. But brothers and sisters, thank God that somebody like Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Thank God that somebody said, I will go into this land. Thank God that somebody answered God's call. Thank God that somebody said, it's not going to be easy, but I know that no matter what happens, God is going to be with me. Somebody has got to go. There's a story about the Reverend Dr. Cheryl Kirk Duggan. She is a professor of theology and women's study and the director of women's studies over at Shaw Divinity School. And she tells this story about growing up in the Christian Methodist Episcopal Church, the CME Church, if you know that for short. And when she was younger, she would attend the annual conference that they had every year. And amidst all the mountaintop experiences that she had experienced, you know, the Holy Communion, the lay banquet, the missionary march, and the youth talent night, there was a moment when the bishop, in the middle of the annual conference, used to read the appointments of one minister leaving one church and going to the next church the following year. And one of the songs that she had heard every year used the part of Isaiah 6 as a backdrop. And the song says, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go. And that song rang within her heart every day and every moment of the day. And it came back to her when she was praying about taking on a new administrative and professional appointment at a particular colloquium. And she was supposed to guide a meditation group. So she was praying over whether to do this. And she said at the end of that session, she had needed a song to end it. And she couldn't even think of one. Now, keep in mind, Reverend Dr. Duggan has 2 degrees in music, and she couldn't even think of a song to end this particular guidance group. And then finally, when she couldn't find the song that would appropriately end it, she started singing that song she had learned long ago at the CME annual conference. And it says, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go, I'll go. If the Lord wants somebody, here I am. Send me, I'll go. Brothers and sisters, are you ready to accept God's call today? It won't be necessarily a call to send a card to somebody. It won't be a call necessarily that you need to bring a particular food according to the first letter of your last name as we have here for Family Day. It won't be sending somebody a gift card. It won't be just saying hello to somebody or paying respects to them or when they're sick. Brothers and sisters, God is calling you for a greater task. God is calling you to help somebody. God is calling you today to save somebody. God is calling you to beat down the structures that keep other people oppressed. God is calling you to liberate those who are in prison. God is calling you today. I don't know exactly what that call is, but I do know that I hope that you will have the courage, like Isaiah, to say, "Here am I, send me." I hope that you will have the fortitude to know that no matter how hard things are, if you accept the call of God, God will equip you and God will work with you. I hope that as you go forth in the world, that you may not say, "Leave it to somebody else," but, "Lord, if you want me to, despite everything that has happened to me, I will still go." Brothers and sisters, say, "Here am I, send me," for the Lord is calling. And if we're able to do that, then no matter what happens, no matter how hard things are, no matter how desperate the situation may get, always be assured that God will walk with you, that God will bless you, and that God will continue to lift you up this day and forevermore. Amen. Our invitational hymn is "I Shall Not Be Moved," which is on page 6 of your bulletins. And now the doors of the church are open. Now is the time for anybody who want to make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Maybe for some of you who want to join us here at Davie Street. Maybe there are some of you that need to be prayed for. Or maybe there are some of you who want to come to Christ for the very first time. If you are one of those persons, we ask you to come to the front as we stand and sing our invitational hymn.